Hello, I'm Keith Powell, and welcome to Jazz for the Asking from PCJ Radio International. West End Blues, King Oliver, beginning today's edition of Jazz for the Asking from PCJ Radio International, from a collection called The Classic Years. And this is released on a label called Prestige, which actually has nothing to do with the original Prestige label. It's another label that has been very active over the last few years, locating transcription recordings made by some legendary jazz performers and releasing them on disc. Now, this actually was recorded for radio broadcast, so it was actually an unreleased recording. That was from way back, 1936, actually. We're going to go 10 years earlier to 1926 with Bearcat Stomp by the Savory, yes, the Savory Bearcats.
Thank you.
The Bearcat Stomp performed by the Savory Bearcats. Interesting name, that, isn't it? When Columbia Records was celebrating the 75th anniversary of Miles Davis, they went back to the original master tapes and remastered them. And in some cases, actually had to locate good copies of some of the tracks that were used on some of the albums, as the master tapes had gone missing. Now, what is interesting, though, about the reissues is that they also were able to locate alternate takes that were made during the same session that perhaps didn't make it on the album. This is from the album Nefertiti, and it is the alternate take of one of the tracks from here called Hand Jive.
Yeah.
hand jive that was featured on the album Nefertiti, but it's not the one itself that was featured on the album. In fact, it's the second take that they did that they finally released as an extra on the 75th anniversary reissue that came out a number of years ago when it was the 75th anniversary of Miles Davis. There's also some other alternate tracks on there. Sometimes it's interesting to listen to because you kind of wonder why they didn't release the alternate track. And I have to say there's been a number of times where I found the alternate track much better than the one that was highlighted on the album itself. But anyway, you are listening to Jazz for the Asking from PCJ Radio International. Now, many, many years ago, okay, let's say the 1930s, RCA Victor had a subsidiary called Bluebird Records. And you can say Bluebird was a budget label of RCA Victor. And of course, all the RCA Victor artists also recorded for Bluebird. In the 1970s and 80s, early 80s, the label was revived. Now, you may remember, some of you anyway, there was a whole series of Bluebird quad albums that came out. Not quadraphonic, but four albums all together that featured the recordings of a particular artist. It could have been, say, Benny Goodman or Artie Shaw. And these are absolutely fantastic. Now, they've been out of press for a long time, but if you go to auction sites like eBay and others, you will find the Bluebird collection. Eventually, the Bluebird label just sort of vanished into thin air. But in the last, I would say, maybe 10 years, or 15 years, in fact, RCA, or now BMG, has decided to revive the label. Now, they're not releasing new recordings, but they're releasing recordings that were made by the Bluebird label itself. And they're also starting to reissue some of those classic LPs that they issued in the 1970s and 80s as double CDs. When they started doing this, the first few that they issued were samplers, and they were called the Bluebird Collection. Take Flight, Volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. After that, of course, they started to release the albums themselves. And they are interesting and they are fantastic because there's material on there that is extremely well known, but many people may have forgotten about. We're going to take a listen to three different tracks from three different volumes of the series. We're going to begin with Duke Ellington, One Note to Samba. That'll be followed by Dizzy Gillespie and his classic release of A Night in Tunisia, and Benny Goodman with Wrapping It Up. We'll be right back. Three separate tracks taken from the Bluebird series Take Flight, which were 10 sampler albums of albums that they consecutively released featuring an artist that recorded either for RCA or Bluebird. We heard there, wrapping it up, Benny Goodman and his orchestra. Before that, Dizzy Gillespie and his well-known composition A Night in Tunisia, and we began with Duke Ellington and One Note to Samba. You're listening to Jazz for the Asking, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. The Metropole Orchestra, based in the Netherlands, is definitely one of the most popular and most well-known studio orchestra. Now, they're not just a studio orchestra because they do a lot of work for television and film. They also do a lot of backing for well-known international artists that travel to Europe and also release their own albums. The orchestra itself was created by Ralph von der Leyden way back after World War II, and they continue today, and they're absolutely phenomenal. Here's the Metropole Orchestra featuring John Scofield on guitar and conducted by Vince Mendoza, who conducted the orchestra for a number of years. And what's interesting about the Metropole, they've had a number of conductors, through the years, and each of them brings the orchestra to a new level. This is from their release 54 with Twang. from Holland, the Metropole Orchestra with Twang, featuring John Scofield on guitar and arranged and conducted by Vince Mendoza. And that's from their compact disc, 54. They do release a lot of material. If you check them out online, you'll find all the releases. And I'll put it this way. You will never be disappointed in a release from the Metropole Orchestra, either one of their own releases or a recording that they did with another artist. Let's now move to a little bit of Chet Baker from a collection of recordings made between 1953 and 1974. It's the standard Autumn Leaves, recorded July 17th, 1974. Thank you. Autumn Leaves, Chet Baker. Now, Ella Fitzgerald was mainly known for her recordings for Decca, Verve, and then later Pablo Records. But in between that period of time, she did record two albums for Capitol, which were very different from anything that she'd ever done until that point, easy listening and even country. And she did record one album that was a live concert for Columbia Records. It was recorded at Carnegie Hall. We're going to listen now to Ella Fitzgerald doing what she does best with a scat number that became very identified with her called Lemon Drop.
Thank you so much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty. for me.
Ella Fitzgerald recorded live at Carnegie Hall with Lemon Drop. And on a future edition of Jazz for the Asking, we will be bringing you that entire concert over the course of two programs. Anyway, that's all we have time for this week. If you want to contact us to let us know what you think of the program, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is jazz@pcjmedia.com. You can also listen to this program and past editions through our website, which, by the way, will be having a makeover in May. Now, we did play some Duke Ellington on the program, but I thought let's end with a little bit of the Duke again. Rockin' in Rhythm, Duke Ellington and his orchestra. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Perron wishing you well, saying so long, take care. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye. Thank you.